following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboo, and at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Coming soon to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. 30 years in the making. 30 years of the red and yellow, black and white. 30 years of Hulkamania. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, Audioboo, Stitcher, iTunes, Buzzsprout, Rant EM Radio, and GeekLifeRadio.com. Hulkamania. 30 years in the making. Brother.
Folks, this is Matt from the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
ShiningWizards.com.
Do you remember the days when Dynamite Kid could walk? Me too. Relive those fun memories at Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your host,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good shot. Ladies and gentlemen, from the current to the way back, you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com is the place. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, and I am joined by...
a very good boy, Mega Powers.
You've been a good boy.
As you know, if you listen to the Midnight Jury Show... I'm on a special challenge, Phil. No complaining, no shit-talking for a month. This month, as a matter of fact. And if I'm caught complaining, I get to give who I'm complaining to a dollar. It's not going in a jar. It's going to the person I'm complaining to.
All right, well, maybe we should all try to piss you. No, never mind. No. All right, well, that's good, Dave. I'm glad you picked it's sort of like a New Year's resolution, no?
In a way, you know... you know, I just feel, you know, a lot of us should be on this challenge just so we can have a nicer, healthier relationship with one another. You know, I know Michael Norton-Gonger, that's how you pronounce it, right?
That is how he pronounces it, yes.
I know him. He's been misinterpreting a lot of, you know, what I've been saying about him. But, you know, I'm going to be a good boy. You know, I'm going to pronounce his name correctly. I don't know... You know, over where I come from, we pronounce it a different way, you know, Norrindonger. It's like a dialect, right? But, you know, I'm not going to call him Norrindonger Chan. I'm not going to call him I'm not going to say he's a buffoon.
How about Michael Norrindonger is a clod.
I'm not going to say Michael Norrindonger is a bozo. You know, I'm not going to say that, you know, when he's alone at his one room apartment eating soup with the flickering light bulb that he can't afford to fix because his neighbors stole his Sunday coupons.
You see, now,
he's not obsessing
about.
Now
you owe Mike about $6 right there. You just broke.
No, I said I'm not going to say any of those things.
But you are. What's wrong with you? That's not nice.
I said that I'm not going to say those things. And if you would let me finish, I was going to say, you know, while he's eating his Chef Boyardee, that he's not going to be obsessing, you know, seeing my face inside of his Chef Boyardee with the noodle letters spelling out winner above my face. I'm not going to say any of that, Phil.
All right. So Dave's Cheap Heat is sponsored by Stitcher, Audio Boo, and Buzzsprout.com. All right. You got that out of the way? Are you done?
We got like a whole show to go.
No. Right? Are you done with your cheap heat? Are you done with that?
It's not cheap heat. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not going to say these things today. I'm being a good boy.
All right, speaking of the network, 9 great shows on the network. I can't plug them enough. Quick shout-out to the Midnight Jury. They had some equipment issues, as Mike mentioned in his last podcast. I hope it all worked that out.
And I hope he does all right with that issue with the drinking. If he needs help, he could talk to any of us.
I think Mike is fine, dude. Anyway,
I'm just saying, just in case.
Anyway.
I don't know if that's the reason why nobody was on the show last week. I don't know.
No. They had some issues with their equipment. And, again, we all support each other on the network. It's a family effort, even though I think three – honestly, this is straight shoot. I think only 3 or 4 of the shows support each other. I don't know. I can't speak really much for the 2.5 wrestler guys because they really don't interact with us very often.
I'm sure they're all right guys.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, you know, I don't. Well, they plugged the Shining Wizards, so I mean that's good. So we get the name
it's
out there.
It's a start.
Yeah, it's a start.
Maybe, one day they'll listen to the other shows.
It's a new year, and we don't speak for PJ because he does his own thing. We just, you know, he just has us as an outlet. So shout out to all. We have just 9 great shows, to be honest with you. Stick and Wolfie and
Neckbreaker.
Oh, the Neckbreaker guys are awesome. That you know, again, we have 9 good shows, great, fantastic, and we're just getting better. And I think 2014 is going to be a really big year for the network, but it's going to be an even better year for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Dave and I are diligently now working to get some good programming out. Let me just fill in our brand new fan base, dude. We're getting a lot of activity on the Facebook and the Twitter.
Yeah.
This is
fans.
This is awesome. Shout out to everybody, man. We have some friends overseas, across the pond, Ireland, the UK, Australia. Big shout out to my buddy AJ Maggot and the Bloke Show. He's part of the geeksoftheindustry.com. They have another show called the Mega Power Show.
Oh,
yeah.
All about me.
Well, that's the thing. They caught our tweet, and one of the hosts tweeted me. He goes, "That's a nice name. That's a nice name you have there." Like, well, it's a great play on words. You know, it's a great play on words and a great play on a last name. It's the greatest play on a last name ever. Are you kidding me?
Well, thank you to my friend Kirk for the one, you know, starting this.
Absolutely. So. Shout out to everybody, man. We're doing some big things. So let's for our new listeners, let me tell you how it was before Dave came on. I would talk a little bit about the current stuff going on with the world of professional wrestling. Then I jump right into a throwback. It could be a card. It could be a hook. One match. It could be an angle. It could be something that just caught my eye as a kid, and now even better as an adult. And I have all the footage. And then when I got Dave aboard, Dave doesn't follow a lot of the current product, but
at least not any American stuff.
Yeah, I know. We'll get into that in a minute. And you know, so now we just try to, you know, we compensate. What's the word? Not compensate. We complement each other well, I think.
Yes.
All right.
The old and the new.
Right. So, and we're going to have things going on. I have a couple of shows in the works. where it's a lot of the current stuff Dave's not involved in. Dave's going to try to get into some more current stuff.
No, I don't want any involvement with any new stuff, Phil.
You need to, honestly, you have to watch a little bit of it just to appreciate. Not I shouldn't say what
I watch the Japanese stuff. That's all I really, that's all I do.
You should watch a little bit of TNA. You should. You should watch Impact, man.
Oh, wasn't everybody complaining about it this past week? Something happened to AJ Styles and the Icon Sting.
Sting. Yeah, that was recorded, though, dude. That's not what's going on. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But we're going to be putting out some really good programming. We have a really big show coming up for you. This Wednesday is episode 50, by the way, of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Shining was Eddie.
50 years of talking about old wrestling.
Right.
Old-time wrestling.
50 years. Shining was Eddie is going to be coming in. We have a crazy, silly throwback. I won't even tell you what's going on with this. It's going to surprise everybody. It's going to be pretty funny.
Well, 50th anniversary. It's amazing. Surprises galore.
Surprises galore. We have a special guest coming on. Actually, two special guests in a couple of weeks. Dave and I worked on separate guests, which is pretty interesting. We have a lot of good stuff coming up for you. We have the Royal Rumble coming up. And we have the 30th anniversary of Hulkamania. Hulkamania was born this month 30 years ago.
You know who else was also born this month 30 years ago?
Yeah, the Mega Powers.
Hell yeah.
So Mega Powers and Hulkamania and Mega Powers are the same age.
So if you want to send me any gifts, you know, contact us at the Turnbuckle Throwbacks at T-Buckle T-Backs on
Twitter, yeah.
Twitter. And for all you Facebook fanatics, hit us up on there. We'll give you a safe address to send me stuff.
Awesome. now, partner. Let me ask you a question. Did you see Wrestle Kingdom from New Japan?
Absolutely.
What'd you think?
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. My only little gripe was even though it was fan chosen, the Intercontinental title match was the main event. I found that interesting.
Quick question for you before we get into the rest of the card, or just talk about the card in general. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Intercontinental title, it's a good segue. The WWE is looking to unify the U.S. belt and the IC belt.
Really?
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I feel WWE has enough belts as it is, and I'm sure a lot of guys agree with that. And I wouldn't mind if they unify the belts. Actually, there used to be a U.S. title in the WWF many moons ago. They even had a U.S. tag titles, I think back in the 50s and 60s. So, much like you and a lot of guys that are listening, I'm a three-belt guy, the World, the Intercontinental, and the Tag Team Championship. And that's it.
Yeah, once they bought WCW and bore all the belts in, it became like a trophy thing. You know, the lineage of the belts aren't as significant as they were when I was younger, and even when you were younger, even though I have about almost...
Well, yeah, even if you even go back with the NWA stuff, I remember reading in Lou Thesz's book on Crowbar Press, Hooker, even Thesz talks about how back then, you know, there wasn't really just one world champion. You know, there was even for NWA, there were several people claiming to have the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. So,
yeah.
But nowadays, it's even more of a mess. So,
right. So anyway, I'm sorry. That was just a good segue because you mentioned the Intercontinental title and the Intercontinental Championship for New Japan.
Yes.
So getting back to the card, I'm sorry. What were your thoughts? I'm sorry. Before I cut you off.
I thought it was a real solid pay-per-view. Usually with I haven't been a big fan of the Wrestle Kingdoms the last couple years. Well, they've still been good, but they didn't deliver like they did this time around. And one surprising match for me was the, you know, funny enough, the NWA World Heavyweight Championship match against Rob Conway, the con man of all people. Who was the NWA champion, dropping the strap to Satoshi Kojima. And these guys actually faced off in Conway's first NWA world title matches in New Japan, and he won. But this time around, I give these guys credit because they don't really get a chance to fight each other, you know, on house shows and stuff like that. And this is probably their second time facing each other, and they did. They had a really great match. And for somebody like Conway, who I don't think anybody really sees him as a world heavyweight champion, no less an NWA world heavyweight champion. But they, for me, that was a really nice surprise as far as the card went. Besides that,
well, let me read the results.
All right,
There was a dark match.
Yes,
Hiroyoshi Tenzan. With Tomoyaki Honoma, Captain New Japan, and Bushi beat Manabu Nakanishi, Super Strong Machine, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Tiger Mask number what now 5 or 7?
No, this one's 4.
4. I'm sorry, I'm just being silly. All right, there was a 4-way match for the IWGP Junior Tag Team Titles, which was fantastic, by the way.
I liked it, but I felt it was just a lot of. These guys just getting in like their trademark spots, and which is fine, but for me, it wasn't that exciting of a match.
What the hell was that?
Hold on a second.
Uh oh. All right. Well,
I'm on. I was trying to pull up the results myself, and it had like some sort of like commercial playing.
For partials.
Oh, wait,
really?
A second. Polygrip commercial coming up. Let me get that out of the way.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Sorry about
normally,
that.
Normally, I'm the one with the technical difficulties. All right, so I thought it was great. The Young Bucks retained over the Time Splitters, which is Kushida and former Motor City Machine Gun Alex Shelley.
Yes.
The Forever Hooligans, which is my new favorite tag team. I love the Hooligans. They are fantastic. I saw them when they were the tag champs back in August. They did a show in Ring of Honor. Forever Hooligans, if you don't know, is Rocky Romero and Alex Kozlov. Guys, if you have a chance to see these guys work, please do yourself a favor. Again, like Dave mentioned, a lot of spot monkey stuff in this match. And the other team was Suzuki Gun, which is Taka Michinoku, who looked fantastic, by the way.
Yeah,
and Taichi. Yeah,
a lot of these guys just get better with age, like Jushin Liger, Masato Tanaka. Oh my God, these guys are better shaped than they were back in their prime.
Absolutely. Your tag team title match was the Bullet Club. That's Carl Anderson, Carl the Machine Gun Anderson, I should say.
Super Festus,
Doc Gallows, against the Killer Elite Squad of Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance, formerly known as Vance Archer, to become the new tag team champions after Archer was caught with the Magic Killer. That's a pretty good move.
Yeah.
Dave mentioned the NWA title match with Kojima beating Rob Conway.
Harley Race was there, too.
Harley Race was definitely in attendance.
He presented the title to Kojima after he won.
Yep.
With the lariat.
Kazushi Sakuraba and Yuji Nagata beat the Gracies, which was that was probably the worst match of the night.
Oh, yeah, and even funnier, you could tell that the Gracies could totally destroy these guys. Well, with the exception of maybe Sakuraba, nowadays, he could still move, but the Gracies were, you know, they're not wrestlers.
I'm sorry, dude. I'll take a middle-aged Yuji Nagata over any of the 1,700 Gracies they have now in their family.
But the Gracies were just, like, flipping these guys. They were mopping the floor with them.
They're fucking mixed martial artists who want to be wrestlers, and they're just throwing judo moves. They're just throwing hip tosses. It was terrible. Moving along, Toru Yano and the Great Muta beat Minoru Suzuki and Shelton Benjamin after Muta blew mist in the face of Suzuki, and Yano rolled him up for the pin. That was a decent match.
Yeah, it was a decent reason to bring in Great Muta for Wrestle Kingdom. It's been a while.
Any reason to bring in Great Muta is a good reason. King of the Destroyer match. You can only win this match by KO, TKO, or submission. Toji Makabe beat Bad Luck Fail via TKO. The powerbombing failed to a table and hitting him with 2 King Kong knee drops. Okay.
That was a decent match. I enjoyed it.
I like it. The next one was good. Hiroki Goto beat Shibata.
Yeah, that was a good match. That was Goto's return match.
That was Goto's return match, yep. The IWGP Junior Heavyweight title match, Ibushi beat Prince Devitt. Now, here's the thing with Devitt. Devitt, apparently, if he decides to come to the States, they're supposed to be offering this guy the world. I don't know. I think he's fantastic. But he lost his Junior Heavyweight title match, and the word is he may come to the States to see what's going on. Now, my thing is, before we get into the next two matches, my beef with that is, if they didn't sign Richards and – I'm talking about WWE, obviously.
Yeah.
If they didn't sign the Wolves, which they just – they went down there for a tryout and they were told no. I'm not saying Devitt doesn't have any personality. I'm just saying Devitt fits in the same mold as that same style as the American Wolves. Richards and you know.
He does, and he actually had a great feud with Richards in New Japan.
He did. But it's the same. Here's the thing, Dave. A lot of these guys, like you mentioned with the IWGP heavyweight tag title match, all the guys are in there just doing their spots. All these guys have a certain moveset, and that's it.
Yeah.
I think WWE is looking for a little more than that. That's why they're not signing no more Pox, and they're not signing any more of the Xavier Woods guys. And I think they're now more than ever character-driven and going into character development. I think that's the way they're going to be going with the next couple of big stars coming out. No? Am I wrong?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I'm thinking about when I hear this you know, guys like Richards and even Sin Cara when he was, you know, Mystico, you know, these guys got reputations, you know, with their personality. So, you know, I could see possibly with Richards, maybe they didn't go for him just because of, you know, the reputation that he brings with him. Because, you know, Mystico, before he became Sin Cara, that was Triple H's first big signing, you know, as him as was COO, or is that his position?
Yeah.
That was his first big signing, and, you know, look how that turned out. You know, the guy, despite all the success that he's had everywhere else in the world, failed to really live up to his credentials when he came to WWE, and now they have another guy playing him. So I don't know. You know, I can't say for sure, but that's my guess. And I think as far as Prince Devitt goes, I'm from what I could tell, the guy has you know, a great personality outside of the ring, and is huge, absolutely huge in Japan. So
I don't know if he'll benefit from coming to the States, man.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that myself, because like the guy's doing so well over there. You know, obviously when the guy of his caliber goes to WWE. He's you know, regardless of, you know, what he's done everywhere else, he's competing against like all these other guys. Because look at how you know, despite how they're used, look at all the star talent that's in WWE right now, and has been in WWE for a long time. There's a lot of name guys. So to make your name over everybody else's name, that's a whole different beast all to itself. So
right, but also, Dave, in the last decade, you got guys that were in their developmental.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they brought the Punks in and the Bryans in, but the guys like, you know, Cena and Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar, all those guys are from developmental.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a sign of the times now, I think. You know, I think it's what's going to happen is you're going to have just guys getting signed at a wrestling school. They'll come out of school. They'll go down to Florida. They'll go into this big developmental, you know, that their big training facility. They'll try out. They'll pay for their tryout or whatever. I don't know how the process goes anymore.
Yeah.
If our fans can let us know, please do. They'll go down there, get the tryout, and they're looking for a certain look. They're looking for a certain thing. I don't know. Again, I would see. Here's the thing, though, and I'm really biased. I'm a tag team guy, and I've been saying this to you for a couple of weeks now. Why can't they sign these? The Briscoes and the Hooligans and the Briscoes politically, I know what happened with Jay Briscoe and all that with the homosexual rants and shit. That was just stupid. But then again, it's been done before. Like they've dropped back in the day, they would drop the N-bomb on you know, on guys like Thunderball Patterson and Ernie Ladd just for an angle, you know?
Yeah, but back then it was a little bit. I think fans back then knew,
were more tolerant. It wasn't PC.
I don't want to say it was just. It wasn't just being tolerant, but it was like, whoa, that guy just called that guy the N-word. I want the black guy to win because now he's being discriminated against.
Right.
Now it's just like nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to see it. None of that. So
you're absolutely right. So now it's a thing is, you know, and I apologize to our listeners. I have a fan going in the back. It's like 7,000 degrees in my studio. So if you hear like a little bit of a hum behind me.
You're still not, alive, 7,000 degrees?
Dude, it's you know how old my house is, right? And I got these huge radiators, and it's like the heat just rises and it bakes up here. So anyway, but, you know, here's the thing. I don't know where the writers are going with some of the stuff, and we'll get into that in another show. But, like, again, a guy like Prince Devitt, I mean, properly booked, I don't know what kind of character you'd give him. You know, again, so I think he's just better off staying in Japan. I don't know. It's
yeah. Plus, he's come a long way personality wise. Because before he was kind of like your Daniel Bryan kind of guy, like just like a clean cut, nice person. And just recently, he went heel and surprisingly went over pretty well. Because over there, how can I word it? Since they don't really care about anything that's not Japanese, if he's cursing and saying whatever he wants, it's not a big deal. Yeah. Most people aren't going to understand it, and they don't care. It's just like, oh, you know, a crazy European, crazy American, whatever.
Yeah, it's
so he's just flapping them gums, saying wanker and cocksucker and all that kind of stuff. And over there it works because, he was already over to begin with. And now that he went heel, it's a new dynamic to the character, and he gets to express himself a lot more than he did before. So do I think he would, you know, fit in with the WWE? Absolutely, he could. But he's going to have to work really fucking hard if he wants to really make a name for himself.
I mean, I'm kind of greedy. I'd like to see him in the States.
Yeah.
But in the same breath, if he's going to be – he's like you said, dude. He's huge in Japan.
Yeah,
like he's huge.
The dude had like both junior championships, the tag and the singles title, like consecutively for like over a year. That's insane. You know, with that kind of schedule, that means they got a lot of faith in the dude if they're giving him both belts at the same time.
Right. So rounding out the card real quick, your heavyweight title match was Okada retaining his title, beating Tetsuo Naito. Am I saying that right?
Naito.
I'm not familiar with Naito's work, but he. This was a really good match. He wins. Hit the Rainmaker. That was. I thought that was a good match. And then, like Dave mentioned, they headlined the show with the IWGP IC title match with one of my favorite Japanese wrestlers in the last 10 years, Tanahashi, beating Nakamura to become your new IC champion of New Japan Pro Wrestling. I'm sorry, yeah, New Japan Pro Wrestling with the
Intercontinental. And Stan Hansen was the special witness for that match, and he handed him the title afterwards.
Beat him with the high fly flow.
Yeah.
Say that fast 17 times.
Sounds like a Dusty Rhodes move when you say it like that.
Hit him with a high fly flow in the grill, baby. Hit him with a...
live and in living color.
In the tattered seat, if you will.
He got a bicycle.
He got a bicycle. Yeah, that's right.
And a robot stole his bicycle. Dude. And gave him a watch and kicked him in the butt.
And they said, a computer took your place, daddy. Dusty's one of the downloadable characters in a new 2K14 game.
Yeah.
Like he was playing.
I've been ultra-plexing him through double tables and God knows what else recently. So
my kid played him last night and brought him out as a special guest referee. And, dude, he does the entire set. They must have just took all his images. He did the dance and everything. Again, not my favorite Dusty Rhodes, but it was kind of comical.
Come on. He's everybody's favorite Dusty Rhodes.
No, that at that time. Listen, as a 15-year-old, seeing Dusty Rhodes kick the shit out of people in NWA and Mid-Atlantic, and then, 6 months later, he's showing up with polka dots.
Come on, Phil. You're trying to tell me that at Madison Square Garden for those house shows, you weren't dancing along with him and Sapphire?
No, I wasn't dancing at all. I didn't hate it. I was just like, I was 15 years old, dude. I was like, this is crazy.
There wasn't a part of you that wanted to get in the ring and dance with them.
No, but I'm not going to lie.
How about now? You want to dance with them now?
Absolutely now. Yes, of course I would dance with him now. Not only that, I would probably wear the polka dots.
Okay, very good.
I'm not going to lie. I marked out for the song all the time. The song was just awesome.
It's the best.
It's on my iPod, dude. You kidding me?
It's maybe next to Real American, some of the best American music I've ever heard in my life.
That dude, that Jim Johnson guy is a fucking genius, by the way. He brings out some good stuff. He's
the Beethoven of our era.
You are not lying. Yeah. You are not lying. I call the music guy in my church. I call him the maestro of mashup.
Just be careful the other maestro from WCW doesn't hear that.
No. None of that now. None of that. All right. So
I'm sure Noren Gonger will cover the maestro on his show.
Will you stop? Speaking of covering shows.
No, seriously. Well, he did a kind of late, they do later WCW stuff. I'm not shit talking.
No, I know. Speaking of shows, it's a good segue. Yeah. The WWE Network did announce last Wednesday evening the launch of their network. This is huge. I watched like I told you guys the other night, I watched the press conference with my wife. We streamed.
Your wife sat down and watched it with you?
My wife not only watched the entire thing, but she endorsed me buying it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we had made – here's the deal. When I got On Demand, it didn't set us back, like, financially.
Oh.
And that was one of the things. When I moved out here to Staten Island, I didn't have Fios where I lived. And I said, listen, if I move out here with you and I get this cable – this is before you even got married. Like, before anything, I have to get this On Demand service because I heard it's fantastic. Even though a lot of it's edited. I hear all the shit. I hear it from Midnight Jury. I hear it from other shows. I don't care all the time when the music is edited.
Yeah.
Honestly,
but sometimes I'm kind of curious what they're going to use for the music when they don't use the real music.
Right, because, I mean, a lot of my tapes got lost in transition. I moved a few times, and just by wear and tear alone, I had what, like Adam Henning has a tape collection. I have a tape collection that was almost as equal to that. I still have some stuff downstairs. And you've seen some of my collection. My stuff's not that bad. And there's stuff I put on DVD. Again, just to see this stuff again, cleaned up and not skipping and having snow on it. And,
Oh, yeah.
For me as a fan, I miss some of the music. I miss some of the stuff. Don't get me wrong. But with the internet now and YouTube and other shows that have this stuff, I don't mind it that much. And you know what? Honestly, my kid is going to benefit from all this, bro, So now we talked about the network, and she was like, listen, if it's under $20, I could see us definitely getting it. And I didn't think it was going to be – I thought with all the content and all the nonsense, and now I heard all the rumors with the pay-per-view, I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
It's not going to be – it's going to be like $20 a month. I'm never going to be able to get this.
Mm.
Fantastic.
$10.
It's $10 a month. What you do is it's all internet based, and this is where Vince is smart. You don't commit yourself to a network. You don't commit yourself to cable service. You keep adding your content, like Netflix, like Hulu. You just keep adding your content to a server. You could stream this stuff off any device.
It's wrestling Netflix.
Pretty much it. We have our son just got a Kindle for Christmas. He could stream it through that in HD. Everything's in 720. It's $10 a month. You got to commit 6 months to it when you sign up.
Mm.
And dude, that's how much one pay per view is. One pay per view for me is almost $60 in high definition.
Good God!
I buy four a year. You know that. I buy the big four. I buy them. I buy four. I buy Mania. I buy the Rumble. I buy SummerSlam, and I buy the Survivor Series. That's almost $60 times four. That's $240, and that's because they're all in high definition feed. Okay, so now I get every pay per view, all 12 of them, starting with WrestleMania this year. You're invited, yes. By the way. You're invited.
Thank you.
Starting with WrestleMania, I get every single pay per view. Okay, I don't have to bootleg them from England anymore. I don't have to stream on the sites anymore. Stream them for the family because my kid likes them. I don't like every pay-per-view, but again, it's $10 a month. You get all the WrestleManias. You get 3,000 pay-per-views in a database right now.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
WCW stuff. You get ECW stuff. And let's face it, some of the ECW stuff, the pay-per-views were terrible. So, if you really want...
Oh, they're still more watchable than a lot of stuff that's on now, so...
Even the old WCW stuff, you're going to get... They're dedicating the Monday Night Wars. They get a whole segment. So now you can watch every single episode from every story.
Maybe I can finally watch when Rey Mysterio gets thrown into the what was it, the trailer.
I have that on video.
They skipped that. When I had Classics on Demand, they skipped it because that was on a night where I guess WWF wasn't on, like the Westminster Dog Show was, you know, had it preempted or something like that, and they skipped it. I was excited to see that, and they skipped it. So now I may actually get to watch it on HD with WWE Network.
So you get all, and then you have WrestleMania Rewind, which is all the WrestleManias. You'll probably get all the Rumbles, all the Survivor Series, all that stuff. They're going to have NXT. They're going to have a countdown show. They're going to have post shows for Raw and SmackDown. They're going to have a live newscast starting this summer, like ESPN-ish. I know you're not a sports guy, but you know the format.
What do those letters stand for?
ESPN?
Yeah.
Oh, something sports network. I forget.
And you're a sports guy.
Well, I'm a sports guy, but I ESPN was way before my time. Like, dude, they started in the 70s, and we didn't have cable here until 1990. So, I don't really give a shit. Really was. I just knew that I was getting highlights and stuff like that, and then the internet came, and I just didn't, you know, whatever. But
a new wave of technology,
right? So it's going to be like an ESPN type show.
Okay,
you know, they'll have a live,
just about WWE.
Yeah, like a live, like you know, sportscasters, and they're gonna like they'll probably get like what they'll do, you know, this is perfect for guys who aren't on TV.
Or they have a lot of. I guess broadcast journalists or whatever that they don't really use that often.
Right, but think about the guys that are not on TV all the time.
Yeah.
The Kofi Kingstons of the world, the Dolph Ziggler's of the world. You can take Big Show off TV finally. He's got a sense of humor. Throw him on the fucking network. Just get, you can rotate guys in there. And, your backstage guys, your Teddy Longs, your Booker T's, your Vicky Guerrero's, all these people have personality. You can take all these people and now give them something to do. The network is going to open up jobs for people who already have a job in WWE.
Yeah.
In essence, this is a win-win for everybody. They're going to have a show, a lot of original programming. They're going to have a thing called Legends House, which was taped a year or two ago. It's like a Big Brother with all these legends in it.
So finally get to see that.
Yeah, you finally get to see that. And mostly all their libraries to be on demand. Let me see. The question is,
I'm looking forward to the old stuff, Phil.
Yeah. Now here's the thing. And my wife was a little worried about this because my son doesn't watch a lot of the Attitude Era stuff. We show him stuff and he's like, okay, I actually slipped and he saw a bunch of stuff he wasn't supposed to see. Someone had given him DVDs, and he's like, he should like the D-Generation X stuff, and
oh no,
but he's not like the kind of kid to act the stuff out like that, you know. He knows right from wrong. Like, he knows.
So he's not lighting fires.
No, not
beating
he's not
his classmates,
and he's
all
not crotch chopping his grandmother because I'd kick his teeth in. But you can parental block the programming. Like they're gonna give you the content rated TV-14 or TV-MA. They'll have that preceded by the appropriate, you know, adversary messages, you know, for the viewer discretion is advised type shit.
Yeah.
And then but I can go into his app on his device, and I could, you know, block whatever I don't want him to watch. You know.
So you could block out the Mark Henry
May Young Hand
thing. May Young Hand job and
yep. It's
anything
be,
that has Mel Phillips you can block.
Pretty much. It's going to start, it's going to be commercial free. They'll have limited promotional shit, obviously. It's going to have, off the bat, 1,500 hours of on-demand content.
Good God.
Yeah. It's going to be available.
There's going to be a lot of lonely guys hanging out in their room.
Right.
Watching some WWE and drinking some Mountain Dew.
Right.
In the coming months.
Dude, you know what? This is a win-win. For somebody like me, who is an older fan, again, it's refreshing, man. And for somebody who's a parent who wants to show their kid the good stuff, this is going to be fantastic.
Like, listen, kid, here's some Leaping Lanny Poffo. This is what you need to aspire to be in your life.
Exactly. And, the availability. I mean, you know, we have the video game systems. We have the We have a tablet. We have the smartphones. He could stream it through anywhere. I could stream it through anywhere. This is going to work for us in terms of the show because I can work on show material, like, you know, on my downtime where if I'm not at home.
And we don't have to watch things in parts on YouTube.
Right. Well, yeah. Here's the thing, though. People are like, oh, you're going to share your password? No, I'm not.
It's $10, you know?
Pay the fucking $10. Don't be cheap about it.
Yeah.
And get it. If you're a wrestling fan, you'll get it. It's going to be through everywhere.
Unless you're a Mike Norengonger, then you'll be hanging out at Adam Henning's house.
Well, you know, I want to
those great video store steals.
I want to just say something about that too. Not that I want to shit on them or anything, but you know, Mike made when the announcement was launched, Mike made a reference to he was upset. Well, we know why he's upset about he's boycotting WWE. He doesn't like WWE. That's fine. But yeah. he made a reference like he said like it's like going to your favorite restaurant. And I forgot what he said on Facebook. I should have kept it.
It's like somebody going to their favorite restaurant and they treat you like shit and then you keep coming back and they keep treating you like shit.
Exactly. But you know what? It's not like that. It's like listen.
Yeah, it's really not that bad.
I'm gonna say something. I'm gonna make a restaurant reference. Let's say young Norengonger or young Adam Henning. Had a parent who took them to McDonald's every weekend as a kid.
Yeah.
And you get your fucking Happy Meal and you get your little toy and you know, it comes the whole setup, right? But now you're a preteen and you don't want the fucking Snoopy toy anymore. You don't want the Ninja Turtle anymore. You don't want the dragon toy. You want something better. Now, if you're a wrestling fan and your intelligence is getting insulted by the content of something like WWE, where you saw the evolution, it wasn't like they smacked us in the face and said, oh my God, they went from one extreme to another. No. It progressively got worse because of the sign of the times. It wasn't the fact that, oh, well, we're going to stop everything because Austin and Rock aren't here anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to stop everything because Mick Foley can't go through tables anymore. We're going to stop everything because, no. You're going to stop what they were doing because it's evolution. And they have the means to do that.
It's the sign of the times.
Exactly. So, again, if I'm not happy with it, I'm not going to watch it. Mike's not going to watch it. Adam's not going to watch it. Whatever.
And, more power to them. If they don't want to watch it, if they don't want to buy any of this stuff, awesome. Because there's plenty of people who do watch it and they don't like it and they complain about it. So more power to them for focusing on what they want to focus on. So I give them credit for that.
I only give up on – I only stop paying for something if I get screwed, like, financially or physically.
No, not this again.
No. No. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm just saying that's my example. Like if I bought a ticket to one of their events, like I'm thinking about taking Michael to a show in March, you know, for like the WrestleMania tour, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I get screwed on it and I don't get my money back from the company, not from Ticketmaster or whatever it is. Let's say I buy something directly from them and they screw me with merch or whatever. I won't buy merch anymore. I don't care if I have a kid. I'm not going to do it, you know? But yeah. I had never had that problem. You know, there's a thing too, and I said this before a couple weeks ago. I never walked away from this shit, dude. I invested enough of my time where I can shit on whatever I want. I think it's you have to look at the bigger picture. With the network, this is going to open up doors for other organizations. It's going to make iPay-per-view better for the independents. Okay, it's going to give them something to look forward to, if they, like a PWS or Ring of Honor or Evolve or Dragon Gate. New Japan now is doing it. You're going to find technology to get – it's all internet-based. I have friends who are canceling their cable subscriptions, and they're just streaming stuff through their computer.
Yeah.
My friend.
That's what I did.
Yeah, my friend canceled his computer. He canceled his cable service, and he streamed. You know,
well, that's the way things are going now.
And
kudos to WWE for recognizing that, because they couldn't get the network on cable. They couldn't get it, as a television station. So they did the next best thing and did like a Netflix kind of deal. So which works for everybody.
Exactly. And I respect anybody's stance, whether good or bad, whether I agree with you or not, whether it's Mike, Adam, my friend Charlie, any of you guys that don't get, you're not watching the product anymore, you don't like it, that's fine. You know, unfortunately, though, it's the sign of the times. And it's going to be like that for a long, like in terms of, this whole streaming thing. That's why Vince took a year, because this was supposed to be going down last year.
Yeah, it was supposed to go down a while ago.
Yeah, and you know what? And people poo-pooed on it. They're like, oh, he shit the bed with that. They totally fucked up with that. How'd they fuck up? Because they picked their spot? It's a fucking genius move.
Yeah.
I don't have to – listen, if I didn't have a six-year-old in the next room who watched Raw and SmackDown every week, I don't have to watch Raw and SmackDown every week. I can I'm pretty good with the internet.
Yeah.
But now the classic stuff and the listen,
everything will be on there.
I loved WCW, bro. I loved it. I do. You know what I would do? I would watch Raw and record Nitro's replay because it was both on at the same time. I mean, obviously I'd flip back and forth, but after 11 o'clock, I would wait, record, and I would watch them both in full. So I had them. I have like two boxes of tapes downstairs, dude. Just with Raw, SmackDown, and ECW for almost 10 years. I got about 8 years worth of tapes downstairs with that stuff on it.
Wow.
So that'll be great footage for us, for the show, for our network, for everything else. All right, so before we get into our topic for tonight, I want to answer a couple of questions. We have a lot of – well, not a lot, but
– Facebook questions.
Dave, we have Facebook questions. Can you believe that?
I believe it. I saw it.
All right. Well, let's go. And you like my little my Superfly Snooker picture, huh?
Oh yeah. Like my Superfly Snooker pictures?
Your Superfly Snooker picture was a little better than mine.
I appreciate it. That was nice.
All right, my buddy.
Brother.
Yeah, my buddy. Listen, let me tell you something. It's I love this whole Facebook thing, man. And the guys in the group are fantastic. A couple of our admins are good. We have a really good core fans. We're getting a good core fans. And Dave and I just want to thank you guys immensely because, again, we do this out of a labor of love. We're not getting paid for it. And the more interaction you get, the more fire you put under us, and the more better we will become as the show progresses. So Noel wants to know, it seems Hogan – well, Hogan was backstage at the press conference, by the way. Hogan will be involved in WrestleMania 30. What do you think WWE would or should use him? And will he be used as a babyface to get over, or Hogan or somebody have a face save Hogan from a beatdown? Should they use Hogan for WrestleMania? That's his question.
Well, when was the last time Hogan was in WWE? That was with
Edge.
What?
When he was
with Edge.
Mr. America and all that shit.
No.
He was the NWO, right? He was Rock.
No, it was against like Orton and Shawn Michaels.
Oh, that's right.
Those matches.
Yeah. Right.
I remember the Shawn Michaels match was hilarious because Michaels was, you could tell that he wasn't going to play Hogan's game. So he just kind of did it like very cartoony and just started like, bumping like crazier than Kurt Hennig could ever imagine. But I had a bad taste in my mouth with his match with Randy Orton because he had the hip surgery. I don't know if it was because the hip surgery was fresh and he was having this match or what, but I wasn't too thrilled with it. His match with Sting and TNA, I saw that on YouTube, and I wasn't too thrilled with that. But, I think at the end of the day, if he were to have – one more match at WrestleMania, whether it was the drizzling shits, as Matt would say, or whatever, because we all know it's not going to be great. We're not having WrestleMania 5 all over again or WrestleMania 6.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because they just gave the Warrior, from what I'm hearing now the last 2 days since we spoke last, they just gave him a business-type contract, like a Legends contract.
That reminds me real quick, because I promised I would talk about it on the show. for those who do know, or well, actually, for those who don't know, I was on a TV pilot of his 2 summers ago. It was actually the same weekend we were filming the Hitting Rock Bottom show.
Right.
And I was double dipping. I was on set for that, but I was on the show. I wasn't like a crew member or anything like that. I was on Ultimate Warrior's show, which is called Warrior University. And it only really made, you know, he only did that one pilot. It didn't really, I don't know what happened. Didn't go anywhere. We all keep in contact. Well, except for Warrior, you know, Warrior's Warrior. And, regardless, I kind of indirectly heard from him on my birthday of all days. This wasn't the message I was kind of wanting or expecting to hear from him after all this time. but it was laughable. He actually reported on eBay one of my posters that I was selling as copyright infringement, and he had eBay take down my poster that I was selling of Survivor Series 92. And I was reading this email like, what the hell is this all about? And then I see his email address as the person who, you know, reported me. And eBay says like, oh, if you want to talk with this party to see, you know, what can be done, you know, this is their email address. So I'm like, it's fucking Warrior. Warrior reported my Survivor Series 92 poster on eBay as a copyright infringement and had it taken down.
So you can't
believe that.
So you can't sell it.
I could probably sell it again. I just have to change some of the descriptions. But
how much were you selling it for?
What's that?
How much were you selling it for?
$100.
Mm-hmm. And was it original or was it a copyright?
This is a reproduction, but a very high quality reproduction.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry you had that experience, but he got
it. Well, it's okay. I'll just repost it again. But I just found it strange that because I had other posters that had him on it, and he didn't report those. So
he might have didn't even see those, you know.
Probably not.
He probably didn't see it at all.
And I wasn't going to bother emailing him because whenever I've emailed him or contacted him, whenever other people emailed him or called him, he doesn't get back. So he lives the gimmick. You know, true to form, Warrior lives that flaky gimmick.
Yeah.
But I'm not complaining. I'm just saying what happens.
Okay, well, they're probably going to both be at WrestleMania. So do I want to see them in in-ring capacity? Not because I hate Hogan, but I'd rather see Warrior's in shape. Like, Warrior's legit, like, in shape.
Well, he had the match with Orlando Jordan.
In Australia or something like that, right?
It was Italy.
No, whatever the hell it was.
But from what I saw of that match, it was, you know, it was not like a typical Warrior match. Surprisingly enough, he did the superplex during that match. But regardless, it wasn't anything exciting. The guy can't go like he used to. And I'm sure all these guys know that, and that's what's expected. But if any of these guys would have a match at WrestleMania 30, you know, knowing that it's not going to be great, I would still be excited. Just because, like, hey, it's WrestleMania. These guys are coming out. You know, it's just fun. You know, it's like when you go to, like, a PWS show and the Powers of Pain are going to be there, or Demolition or something like that. You know, or Sergeant Slaughter. You know, the match isn't going to be all that great, but you're excited. You're interested. You want to see. You know, what do these guys look like now? You know, what's this match going to look like? What are they going to do? You know, can Hogan still do the leg drop? All those kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I
don't think he can actually do the leg drop anymore.
Yeah, he can't. So I mean, I like to see them involved in WrestleMania. I just don't know if I can want to see them in like in a match capacity, you know?
And I don't want to see them going to the hospital after having a match, too.
This is true. This is true. my buddy Scott wants to know, what was your favorite match you've seen at a live WWE, WCW, NECW, or any show? Okay, so for live WWE, not WWF. Dave, you want to answer this before I do, or do you know?
Yeah, I do. WWE-wise, that's actually a tough one because I haven't been to many WWE shows, but the ones I have been to were huge. But the one that the number one would have to be my very first WWF show, and the main event was Money Incorporated defending their tag team championships against the Mega Maniacs, I think they were going as. Hulk Hogan, who was the WWF champion at the time, and Brutus the Barber Beefcake. And the special guest referee was Sergeant Slaughter. That was huge. Still is.
I'm not going to answer WWF, but WWE, my favorite WWE era event was WrestleMania 20 live. I was there live. I sat right near ringside for that. And that was at Madison Square Garden. What about WCW? What was your favorite WCW live event?
I've never been to a WCW live event, so let's say.
My favorite was, I want to say, you know what? Give me one second.
Sting and Ric Flair.
Well, yeah. I was at Ric Flair's sixth world title win at the Meadowlands Arena.
Of all places to drop a world championship.
Yeah, well.
New Jersey.
Well, here's the thing. There was a huge snowstorm. And let's see. Hold on a second. Let's see. In 1990, he won his sixth world championship against Sting, and it was in the Meadowlands. I actually saw a world title change. It was a snowstorm. A friend had canceled and couldn't go. He gave me and another friend the tickets, and we schlepped it from Queens. It took us like 3 hours for a 45-minute drive.
Wow.
But we drove out to the Meadowlands. And that was my first ever WCW, and not until the Nitros, but I went to a couple of Nitros in Philadelphia. But
how many people were at that WCW event?
If that, maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people.
Wow! And I wonder if WCW staged the snowstorm because ticket sales were down.
Well,
so
I got
they could come up with an excuse, dude, to say it was snowing, we couldn't sell all these tickets.
That wasn't even the best match on the card.
Whoa, what was?
The best match on the card, which is what I was getting to, was a cage match between Doom and Arn Anderson and Barry Windham for the tag titles.
Wow.
So that was my favorite WCW live show. My favorite ECW live show, and you know I've been to a shit ton of ECW, would have to be I was at two out of the three Eddie Guerrero-Dean Malenko matches.
Wow.
They had the classic feud, the three matches for the TV title.
Yes.
I was at two out of three of those matches.
Were you there for the draw?
Yes.
Wow.
So, Harry wants to know, with Ryback appearing a bit reckless in the ring, do you think it's going to put off a past star coming back for a match with him at WrestleMania? Yes, I'm hinting at Goldberg. Can you see Goldberg and Ryback? He's getting a lot of heat in the back lately, Ryback, for being very sloppy and tweeting some stupid shit. But
that's really nothing new in wrestling.
No,
you know, guys get sloppy or stiff, but I don't think because somebody's sloppy that they would bring back another sloppy wrestler so they could, you know, both fuck each other up. I can't see that happening. But if WWE did book in such a fucked up manner, I would love to see that match just to see these guys injure each other.
Lopez wants to know, do we see Daniel Bryan joining the Wyatt family angle is just one more step in the burial process, or can this honestly be considered a favor that they're doing for him and something that's going to help his career? And oh yeah, Phil and Powers, let's wait and see how it goes. It's not an acceptable answer to my question. I want your opinion. In WWE burying Bryan, or are they building him up? It's one of the either, and don't chump out. And I
we'll see how it goes, Daniel. I don't know.
I don't think they're burying him. I think they just want to put other guys in the top spot right now.
Well, the rumor is that the Wyatts are going to be main eventing WrestleMania. So,
if they're main eventing WrestleMania and he's part of the family, then it makes sense.
Yeah.
If they were burying him, first of all, he'd be off television. That's first of all.
Yeah, he would be on like main events or
superstars or whatever.
Heats or if they even have heat anymore.
They don't have heat no more, dude. You're about 15 years behind.
All right, then they got him on Velocity. I don't know.
You're about 16 years behind. No.
Oh, I told you. I don't know anything about this newfangled
Listen, we have a fan base, and we're the currents of the way back, so we have to address this once in a while. You have to buckle up and take one for the team there, Chief Rocker.
All right. So I'm
That's why I'm saying, you know, you have to read up a little bit once in a while.
I'm just saying, you know, if I don't know something, it's because I favor the old.
But you know who the players are. It's not like it's to say you're not totally oblivious.
Hey, I saw Daniel Bryan wrestle in a high school gym, like, in 2004. I know what's going on.
Absolutely. So to answer Dan's question, no, I don't think they're burying him. I think they're just moving him along in character progression.
Dan Lopez has his own show now.
Does he?
Yeah.
When that happened?
I don't know. I guess he got like one of those talk boy recorders or a Mr. Microphone or something like that and recorded himself on his iPhone or something.
Did they put it on a network?
Yeah, they did.
So we have 10 shows now. I'm saying we have 10. Why didn't you cut me off and correct me? I didn't even know. I'm sorry.
To be quite honest, I completely forgot about it. I think because I was so appalled that they gave him a show that I just forgot about it. Maybe I was just mentally trying to forget about it completely.
All right, well, we'll check the network for Handsome Dan's probably a blog spot thingy. Maybe he's talking on one of his blogs or whatever. But, yeah, check out Dan Lopez. He's pretty knowledgeable.
He's all right.
He's all right. He's all right. Eric,
I'm not shit talking. I'm just saying he's all right.
Eric wants to know, should TNA Impact's free pay-per-view specials be moved up to 3 hours for those days?
They have a 3 hour. Wait, what's the deal? I have no idea.
TNA gives their pay-per-views for free on like some of their big titles that they would normally make you pay for. They offer them on Spike for free as regular programming.
Really?
I think what Eric wants to know is should they make those 3 hours instead of the 2 hours that they normally are? I don't know. If they're telling a story and they can get it done in 2 hours, go ahead. If you want to add the extra hour, I think Spike's terrible network anyway, Eric, to answer your question. So, I don't think they should make it 3 hours unless they go to another network.
Oh, plus, like, networks like that, you know, it's it's like, well, do we add another hour of pro wrestling from TNA that only gets so many views when we could show Ghostbusters for the millionth time and get more views? So, you know.
Yeah, again, if they were on the Fox network, like with UFC and stuff like that, then I would say, yeah, no brainer. But honestly, I don't think what TNA has going on right now, Eric and Dave really can't speak a lot about it because he doesn't watch it. I mean, I like to see them go to 3 hours for pay-per-views, but...
You know, worst comes to worst. It's just, you know, an extra hour of wrestling, whether it's good or bad.
Right.
Something for people to watch and, you know, maybe something to keep in the background while you're doing more important things.
Exactly. Let's see. All right. And one more question, which I think is a great question. Harry, again, wants to know, obviously not this year, but in the future years, do you think it would be good to have the title on the line in the Royal Rumble match like in 92 when Flair won it, which is my favorite Rumble. I don't know if Harry knew that, but Dave knows that. That's my favorite Royal Rumble, and that's a good question. Should the title be on the line for a future Rumble?
I would love to see something like that just because I know it's kind of frowned upon to do, you know, one-night tournaments or you know, special things to determine a champion, but I always loved the fact when they did stuff like that, whether it was a Rumble or a WrestleMania 4 with the tournaments or something like that, just because it just breaks up the monotony of, you know, just a regular singles match, you know? So I would love to see that. Absolutely.
Exactly. All right. You know what? Those are great questions, and I want to thank all of our awesome fans for putting them
up. Oh, and one last thing. It also makes the belt seem a little bit more important.
I'll tell you what. They give you this main event shit for Mania. Like, if you win the Rumble, you get a main event shot, you know?
Yeah.
But if you give somebody the belt at the Rumble, that's a whole new storyline.
Yeah.
That's a whole new storyline, and you could build that to a main event title match at any WrestleMania. So I think it's a great idea. And you know what? That might be a contest we'll have for the end of the month because we are doing the Hulkamania podcast the day before this year's Royal Rumble.
I actually have a podcast. I have a contest, Phil, for tonight's episode.
All right. So let's do that first, and then we'll announce the next contest on the Wednesday show. So, all right. All right.
I'll make my announcement of the contest after we talk about tonight's topic.
Okay, brother. Now,
brother,
let's continue our wrestling conspiracy theory process.
Well, this is – I think this is not just a conspiracy theory. This is if I may reference another old TV show, this is part of wrestling's unsolved mysteries.
All right. Well, it is
– even though I know what happens.
All right.
I think the world knows what happens. But
So David – listen, here's the thing with Dave and I. If we talk about something in passing, it automatically becomes a Facebook swap of files and clips and everything else. The best thing is, and I told for any of our new listeners who don't know, that's how Dave and I prep for our shows. And, you know, we started this conspiracy theory thing and the wrestling is fake thing a couple of weeks ago, and it caught fire with a few people. And I think there's enough to go around. We have the Bruiser Brody thing to talk about, and we have a couple of things we have in the vault that we're ready to do in a couple of months. But
to exhume and unearth.
Yeah, you know what? Because this industry has terrible tragedy.
There's a lot of skeletons in the closet of pro wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. And 30 years ago, last year, first of all, Jimmy Snuka, and anybody who lived on the Northeast anyway, from 1980 to 83, Jimmy Snuka was the biggest attraction in sports entertainment in the Northeast. He was...
outside of a world heavyweight champion.
Dude, he was bigger than Hogan. Bar none. Before Hulkamania, he was the man. They were grooming Jimmy Snuka to be a heavyweight champion. Okay, this incident ruined. Well, this incident and Jimmy Snuka's extracurricular activity, ruined his career. Honestly, I'm not saying he didn't have a good career afterwards because he was still at Mania, and we'll get into that in a minute. And this is the thing. This is how significant this was. Like Vince was putting the belt on Snuka. He was drawing almost as good as Bruno was.
Yeah.
With his feuds with Don Morocco and Rowdy Piper and Greg Valentine, and every top heel in a promotion had to go through Snuka.
Yeah.
That was the deal. And this was still – and he even fought – they even had face versus face. And when he was a bad guy, he was a draw. Bob Backlund.
That was the first Superfly off the top of the cage.
Right.
It's Backlund.
Right. And – even as a heel, Jimmy Snuka was a top draw.
Yeah.
Okay. So, 30 years ago last year, a young woman by the name of Nancy Argentino.
Nancy, another Nancy being killed by wrestlers.
Yeah. A Brooklyn girl. Was
dentist assistant in Brooklyn.
Right. So, here's the deal. Jimmy at the time was 39 years old. She's 23, right? She was found dead in a Pennsylvania hotel room belonging to Snuka in May of 83. For Nancy, of course, it ended her life, sadly. For Snuka, it changed, like I said, his personal life and career. And it was, for the family, it was like the thing where we have to find out, we have to get some closure.
Yeah.
So last week, new information surfaced on the case, which is still considered an open case. There was an article
about how many years 30, now?
It'll be 31 years this May.
Yeah. Still an open case.
The Morning Call publication in Pennsylvania opened up documents from a Philadelphia Federal Archives warehouse, which includes the autopsy. And in the documents, forensic pathologist, let me see his name here, Isidore Milakis, suggested the case may be investigated as a homicide until proven otherwise. The case never went to trial, okay? Never did. Snuka was close to being prosecuted, but the prosecution felt that there was not enough evidence to put together for a trial.
No.
A contributor was that Snuka changed his story about the events that happened on the night of May 10th and 11th, 1983, which was supported by a transcript of Snuka's interview with the police.
Which could be kind of – that can go either way. If I could be the wrestling Matlock, if I may.
Go ahead.
You know, when some people get caught up in something like, you know, like, hey, Phil, we found out your wife is dead and we're thinking that you're the killer. When you have to go to somebody, you know, the police or whatever, to say, like, you know, say, you know, claim your story, you know, say your piece. I could imagine, especially somebody like Snuka, you know, this guy's not the best talker in the world, you know, having to explain, you know, what happened and how it happened. I could see, you know, some of the details getting, you know, switched around here and there. But at the same time, there was a lot of, actually before the death, I think it was like 3 months beforehand or something like that. He, at another hotel, they had the police called in on some screams, female screams coming from his hotel. The hotel owner got the cops coming in and took like 8 guys to pull Snuka off of Nancy Argentino, as well as a dog. They had to get 8 cops and a dog to get this guy off of her. So,
well, let me. So Snuka presents this story, right?
Yeah.
Nancy hits her head near or around the truck stop. They were going to a taping, a WWF taping in Allentown, Pennsylvania on May 10th, right? Nancy goes back to the hotel room. Snuka goes to the tapings. Snuka had a few drinks with Don Morocco and Mr. Fuji, right?
Well, actually, he went back to the – well, he went to the hotel room, saw she was kind of like, but then decided to go out drinking with Morocco and Fuji.
Right. So he returns to the hotel where Snuka claims he found Nancy having a hard time breathing, foaming at the mouth. Nancy was pronounced dead at 1:50 a.m. on May 11, 1983. Now, the story is really not as simple as it looks because now, according to this autopsy report that came out last year that was newly discovered in the archive warehouse in Philadelphia, the autopsy report, the doctor noticed that the cause of death was consistent with a moving head striking with a stationary object.
Yes.
But it is not consistent with a single fall to the head, like Jimmy Snuka claims.
It was a blunt object hitting the head several times.
Right.
And not only that, but they said there were also various marks and scars on the body upon arrival. So, you know, it wasn't – because initially his first couple claims were before they made it to the hotel – you know, they were driving from where were they driving from? Like upstate New York, down to you know, Allentown, PA, and they, you know, they take a stop to pee along the way. It's a long drive, and when she was peeing, that she fell down and hit her head on something, and then later on, that changed to I had an argument with her on the road and I pushed her and she hit her head on something.
All right, so
and then she hit her head on something.
Right, so
she's
now
in the hotel room.
Upon more of an examination, the doc found no evidence of dirt or tears of the fabric, gravel, dirt particles, nothing near that would be at a truck stop.
No.
Right. Okay. So now there you go. It supports the alternative theory that Nancy was struck. There was an altercation that led to her becoming unconscious, like Dave just mentioned. This is supported by Dr. Milakakis' autopsy opinion, and he quotes the multiplicity and the magnitude of the injuries may be even suggested of mate abuse. No shit.
Yeah.
The story brings back to a few months to January, where Snuka allegedly struck and beat her up in a hotel room, which Dave was talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
When police arrived, like Dave said, they met by almost superhuman resistance from Snuka. Again, Snuka's a big dude. An officer was at the scene, reported Snuka grabbed Nancy by the hair and ran out of the room, dragged the face against the drywall. Police reported that Nancy's injuries could have been a bruised right thumb, a contusion to the neck, and possibly fractured ribs and injury to the lower back. Nancy told police Snuka never struck her or intentionally harmed her. Snuka was charged with assault and resisting arrest, and a plea deal was struck, and he pleaded guilty to a lesser charge of harassment in April of 83, shortly before her death in May.
Sounds like a typical woman.
Now.
Oh, he hit me. That means he loves me even more. Now, so we're going to make the charges lower than what they are.
I have another twist on this. There was a book put out last year.
Yes.
Okay. And it was
called Justice Denied.
No, not that book. Justice Denied is a great. I'm actually getting it. It's on Kindle. It's like $3 on Kindle if you can get it. I'm talking about the Superfly Snooker autobiography.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Well, that was what brought this back to light again.
Well, here's the thing. I interviewed John Chapman on the Man Cave show around this time last year.
Oh yeah, I remember. You mentioned this to me in the past.
Right. So but the thing is, I find it strange that Mr. Chapman reached out to our host JP and told JP that he wasn't comfortable with talking about the incident.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, though, around the same week he interviews us, a friend of the network, primetime Sam Roberts of SiriusXM Radio, gets him and Snooker on, and it's all over the internet. And Snooker talks and tells the story the same way he tells the police.
Well, Sam Roberts is in a different league than we are, Phil. So
here's the thing. I love Sam. Sam's got a great show. He's a friend of the network, friend of the Wizards. And this is nothing on them, but now this is like a conflict. You're telling us that you don't want to talk about it. Snooker didn't even want to come on and talk about it. So John comes on, then they go on to their show and do their thing, and then this other book comes out, which is what we just talked, the other book, not the one that Dave just mentioned.
Justice Denied.
Justice Denied, which you can get on Amazon, I think, for like $3 or whatever it is.
By Irvin Mushnick.
Yeah, Mushnick wrote this. And again, here it is. So the timeline of events from May 10th and 11th took serious twists and turns, right?
Yeah.
Snooker never goes to trial. Snooker and Vince McMahon meet with local police. An investigation was shut down. The civil suit was filed by Nancy's family in 85, which is around, ironically, around WrestleMania. The Argentino family won a $500,000 wrongful death judgment against Snooker, which was paid for by McMahon, by the way. However, Snooker claimed to be broke and he never paid. But that's not bull. That's bullshit. Vince paid for that. And the timeline below captures everything that I got from May of 83. So, 82. January, Snooker joins as a heel, managed by Captain Lou.
Yep.
June of 82, one of Snooker's most famous matches, leaping off the top of the cage, like Dave said, against Bob Backlund. Here we go, 82. Snooker rose to the ranks, number one star in the company prior to Mania. If the events of 83 did not happen, Snooker would have been number two under Hogan. Bottom line, and I'm totally believing that.
Well, what about JYD?
What about JYD?
Wasn't he like number two?
Yeah, but because of Snooker. He wasn't brought in before Snooker. He didn't come
in. He was brought in after Snooker.
Right, he came in 84, 85, around the time of WrestleMania. Okay, so January 18th, Snooker and Nancy got into the altercation, Howard Johnson's, right?
Yeah.
April, Snooker pled down to the charges, risking arrest from the 18th incident. And then the incident, right?
Yes. Now, May 10th, 1983.
Okay, so now this goes on. Now, I have some more dates. I don't know if you're aware of this, but in May of 83, Snooker attends Nancy's viewing, along with manager Buddy Rogers, and reportedly cried as he leaned over the casket. The family believed that Snooker would return to the funeral the next day, but he didn't attend.
And there's also even a Buddy Rogers quote about not too much about this incident, but you know, mentioning how with Snooker's wife, like, he flat out said, like, the dude would just beat the hell out of his wife, and they lived next door to each other. Nature Boy Buddy Rogers and Jimmy Superfly Snooker lived very right next door to each other, and whenever they would meet up, you know, with their wives and stuff like that, like, Buddy Rogers specifically said he would notice the bruises on this woman.
Well, here's where I know it's a cover-up, and here I got these dates courtesy of – this is courtesy of
The Torch?
Yeah, The Torch.
Pro Wrestling Torch.
Right. This is where I got this. This I didn't get. I knew everything else. I didn't get. This is the stuff I didn't get.
The dates. Yeah.
Right. The dates. Here we go. Now, after the viewing, May 27th of 83, D.A. William Platt, now a Pennsylvania Senior Superior Court judge, said the investigation into Nancy's death was nearly complete. Just a matter of getting everybody together.
Which didn't really happen. So.
Nope. June 1st, 83, Snuka and Vince McMahon met with Platt, then Assistant DA, Robert Steinberg, Dr. Miliakis, and the Whitehall police detectives for a follow-up interview about the events surrounding Nancy's death. McMahon, who Snuka noted in his recent autobiography, brought a briefcase with him to the meeting, did all the talking. No shit.
Yeah, a briefcase. I'll say this. You know, sometimes people are like, oh, you paid everybody off. Well, that could be the case. I don't know. Don't know for sure, but...
Well, here's the thing. Steinberg said, I remember Vince, being Vince, has always been very effusive, very protective, a showman. He was the mouthpiece trying to direct the conversation. Steinberg noted, couldn't recall specifics in the conversation. There was no record of the content of the conversation. Obviously, it wasn't recorded. Snuka said in the book, and I know this for a fact, he doesn't remember much of the conversation, and Platt said he's not permitted to discuss this matter. Now, why is it that Snuka can play the role that he doesn't remember the conversation? I believe there's some validity to that because he's not a very smart person. He's not. When you speak to him, it's like, you know, he's always like that.
Plus, well, you know, he even admitted, you know, that he couldn't pay for, the court ruling because, you know, he wasted all his money. So, and you could still see him wrestle at a high school gym in a church basement any weekend you want. So, you know, it's no surprise the man, you know, his intelligence isn't, you know, on par with like a Vince McMahon or something like that. But it does lead itself to like, well, what the hell happens in this thing? Because it gets to a point where after that, the investigation goes completely cold.
Right. And Mushnick states, this is a part from his book, all the evidence is that McMahon didn't give the Argentinos any money. Nancy's sister said that their mother would hang up on WWF representatives who called them to offer them $25,000. Whether McMahon gave them money or not is non sequitur. The question raised and unanswered by Snuka's tantalizing quote is something entirely different. Whether WWF, in protecting one of its own most popular stars from a homicide indictment, handed out strategic cash to anyone else. I don't know about that.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead, brother.
Something like that happened today. Do you think, you know, even if whether McMahon did or didn't give out cash, do you think that they would protect one of their guys if something crazy like this happened?
Nope. Because you have to – no, not at all. No. And I'll tell you why. It's that back then, you depended on guys, certain guys in your territory to draw. Now, you don't care.
They can get anybody.
There's so many guys waiting to draw, quote unquote. There's merch. There's TV. It's a different ball game now, bro. 30 years ago, if guys didn't show up for certain matches – there were no shows. You weren't getting paid. You know, Vince was just getting into the company. He just bought his dad out.
Yeah.
He was blowing up. He was incorporating different talent from different places. And this was before the boom. This is before Hulkamania. And then it gets worse for him. That year he finished off with the Morocco feud. And then in 84, that was it.
He's still operating like nothing happens. Like, do you... I don't know. How old were you at this point?
11.
11. So you didn't. You probably didn't know about like this stuff going on, but
no. But I knew Jimmy Snuka when he came to the gym in the boxing ring in my neighborhood. I knew that Jimmy was the biggest thing going. Mm. When I saw him in the boxing ring in Ridgewood, the Grove Arena, it was like teaming up with Andre the Giant. It was. Next to, I thought I saw Christ walking on water, you know? This is before Hulkamania, you know? And on top of that, he was portrayed that way. Like, you know, he influenced almost everybody you see on TV doing a high spot.
Yeah, even Cody Rhodes doing his moonsault off the cage.
Right. You see, Everything you see now on a high spot is Jimmy Snuka. Well, anybody who's
Mick Foley.
Yeah, a little. Yeah, but again, and then he goes into the obscurity. Like, instead of main eventing in Mania, he's in the corner of Hogan and Mr. T. Again, like we mentioned, the Argentino family got the $500,000 wrongful death judgment in their lawsuit against Snuka in 85. And then in October of 85, in a sworn affidavit, after he was terminated, his family was extremely poor. He owed $75,000 in back taxes. Why do rich people not file their taxes? I never understood that. I don't know. Snuka, who notoriously didn't have money managing skills, obviously, also maintained he never hurt Nancy. He's very sorry she died. She's a wonderful young lady, blah, 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 blah. And then in the 80s and 90s, he went to the AWA, went back to WWF. He grew
Japan.
He was Undertaker's first. He jobbed the Undertaker, started the whole streak thing. And there it is. But this, it's clear that there was something done.
Yeah.
She didn't hit her head at a fucking truck stop. She was beat with probably a lamp or something in a hotel room or something in his car. He probably banged her head against the dashboard 70 times in his whatever car they had at the time.
Well, you have all these like police reports, even for that night in particular. There was some activity going on there. That was reported. You have Buddy Rogers' account of, how Snuka handled his wife. I thought this was interesting. There was a piece from, Slam Wrestling over in Canada.
Yeah, good magazine.
They had a piece on this, and they brought up, I think this is Irvin Mushnick's, something that he wrote. That said, Snuka was an illiterate immigrant from Fiji, prone to bouts with the law that threatened his green card, and a drug abuser who often missed bookings during a Middle East tour in the summer of 85. Fellow wrestlers say customs officials in Kuwait caught him with controlled substances taped to his body, and he was allowed to leave the country only after some fancy footwork. So, the guy has a history of just trouble in general.
Right.
So... And actually, at the end of that article, there was an interesting thing. Where was it? Let me pull out the direct quote. And this is from the from attorney Cushing on this. Where is it? He had an interesting remark made to him by Vince McMahon, which he described as insightful and chilling. And that was, look, I'm in the garbage business. If you think I'm going to be hurt by the revelation that one of my wrestlers is really a violent individual, you're mistaken. And I kind of don't blame Vince for saying that, because just with the nature of pro wrestling in general and how things were back then, especially with a lot of the other deaths that we'll be talking about in the future, there's a little history of real violence in pro wrestling, for sure.
Again. Here's another reason why this wouldn't fly now. Technology.
Oh, yeah.
Even with the lack of evidence they had, with the evidence they had then was now, you're on some, like, CSI type shit. They have all these, like, these instruments now that pick up hair follicles and prints, and you can't just walk into a house with gloves on anymore and bang somebody's face off and expect to walk and kill somebody and expect to walk away from it.
Yeah, and put the the salt down or whatever to see the fingerprints, all that kind of stuff. But like you said, this is a different day and age. A lot of those guys would get caught immediately, and I think I don't know. Like, it takes a real special person, and I don't know if that's Vince McMahon. If the Chris Benoit thing, that was that's something that nobody can really. Say, they can't dance around that, because the guy, they found the bodies. He killed himself. Everything's right there in front of you. But if one of their guys were to kill somebody and, then I don't know how or if, they could get one of their guys off the hook, if that was even an option.
What bothers me is like limited intelligence, drug abuse. And the fact that he was such a talent in the ring, and that Samoan lineage some of that Samoan lineage got him off.
Yeah.
Him being related to the other guys, I think, got him off, I think. I'm not even ashamed to say that.
Well, you know, there's the saying, you know, some guys in the WWE have a job for life. Guys like Kevin Dunn, you know, like the Samoans.
Right.
Captain Lou, you know, he had a job for life over there, you know.
Right. Who was ironically his first manager.
Yeah.
But you see, that bothers me, man. I mean, and it goes back to the whole thing of even though the guy was an asshole outside the ring or was a murderer outside the ring, and this goes back to the whole Benoit thing, that's another podcast. But
yeah,
like, but you know, where do you draw the line as a fan? You know, where do you draw the line? Like, you know, he was a fantastic talent in the ring. You've seen him a million times in person and on TV. But then
he came to our table during Legends of the Ring. Right. Shook our hands.
Right, and Benoit was borderline hugged me and hand shook me in front of ECW Arena one night on his way out, you know, and like say, thanks for the love and, you know, thanks for coming out tonight. And like was very gracious to the fans and didn't have to be. But then he goes and, you know, 10 years later, he goes and kills
his family. Well, he didn't have all that brain damage at that point.
That's the thing though, dude. And like people, there's a lot of fans that can't get over the personal lives of certain people. It's the same thing with musicians.
Especially when guys are using their own real names and stuff like that. It's like it's hard for whether it's a casual viewer or a hardcore viewer to really say, you know, it's two different people, you know. So I don't know, you know, I can't answer for other people, but me personally, I still love watching Jimmy Snuka matches. I still love watching Chris Benoit matches, but obviously personally, you know, I don't have any
remorse, right?
Yeah, I don't have any remorse for what happened. You know, if you have a temper and you can't handle it, whether it's because of, well, I don't know, Chris Benoit's case is interesting because, you know, there was possible some brain damage from all those concussions he's had over the years. So you don't, that one's like a tougher nut to crack to really say, you know, how you can really feel about that, because there is that potential that, you know, there was something mentally wrong with the guy, not just him having roid rage or whatever. But Snuka, on the other hand, the dude had a conscious choice of whether to take those drugs or not. And he has a conscious choice whether to beat, you know, women if he wants. And when I saw Snuka at Legends of the Ring, you know, one of the reasons why we're doing this episode is because I've had this running joke about Jimmy Snuka killing his girlfriend since I was just a guest on the Shining Wizards. But I actually wanted to do a full episode on this. But, you know, part of me does feel sorry for the dude because, you know, look what happened to him. You know, he had this amazing career. And good guy, bad guy, whatever he was in real life. You know, anytime you see a fellow human being, you know, just being trampled on by life, you know, by their poor decisions. You know, I do have some sympathy for him, but not too much, because if you beat somebody to death, then hey, you know, what happens happens, whether you go to jail or your career goes down the shitter and you're wrestling in high school gyms for $15 or however much the dude's making, you know, you got to expect that. You make your choices and you got to live with it.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you right now, I, too, enjoy Jimmy Snuka's matches. I enjoy Chris Benoit's matches, and I'm going to continue covering those guys on our podcast because talent-wise, it's, you know, for me anyway, it's I can differentiate.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have dinner with Jimmy Snuka anytime soon.
Yeah, and you don't have to buy those autographs at the Legends reunions or whatever.
Right,
and,
right, absolutely. So
no, just keep it as a joke, like I do. Enjoy the matches, and you know, don't take it personally.
Absolutely.
You know, that's his cross to bear, as they say.
All right, so I think we're about to pull the train into the station.
Yeah.
Wrap this up and get ready for another week of awesome shit. Again, Wednesday will be episode 50.
The 50th anniversary.
The 50th anniversary of the 50th episode of the Turnbuckle
Throwback. 50 years of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
That's right. The courtship of Shining Wizards Eddie will be the name of the episode. Shining Wizards Eddie will be with us in studio. And Mega Powers will hopefully be here. If not, he'll be somewhere.
You know, all I got to say is I'm really glad that Eddie was not involved in any of Mike Knorr and Gonger's backyard mat wrestling.
I have not seen it yet. I just saw the Facebook page post. I'm going to check that out in a little while. But
I hope that's not him.
yeah. Well, anyway, speaking of Eddie and Mike, go to Shining. The new home of the Shining Wizards Network is shiningwizardsnetwork.com. You can still go to swn.shiningwizards.com. The stuff is there. But the new home for the new generation, as Dave would say, of sports entertainment broadcasting is the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Of course, us, the Shining Wizards, the Midnight Jury, Netbreaker Podcast, 2.5 Wrestlers. You have Apex Radio. You have Wolfman Jack Foley. You have the Fallen Angels. And, of course, now you have Handsome Dan's Last Say now, apparently, from what I'm reading on the Facebook page. So check out all those.
I don't know how that managed to get by the SWN brass, but
I got to download it now on the way to work tomorrow. So that's
rest assured, I'll make sure it's a short tenure.
All right. Again, thanks to everybody on Facebook. The love has been fantastic. Facebook.com/Turnbuckle Throwbacks. As a gift to you guys, I actually posted a clip last night of one of my Christmas presents.
Oh. So,
yeah, go check that out.
I just remembered the contest that I want to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, before I get into my
I want to do a contest, Phil.
Dave, go ahead, brother. The floor is yours.
All right. This is because we love our fans so much, and I'm digging the new people coming in. This is going to be a little bit of a challenge. So if you're up for it, I'm going to think of something really cool to give you guys for the best video of how you thought the Jimmy Snuka murder went down. Videotape yourself. Get some friends together. Act out how you think it really happened. Do you think Snuka really killed her? Show us how it happened. If you didn't think it happened that way, show us how it really happened in your mind.
And the best video gets a prize, is that what you're saying?
Yes, the best video gets a prize.
Okay, you can go to facebook.com/Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You can post your video there. Post it on the group page. Tweet us with the video if you want, @TBuckleTBacks. Yeah. Of course, the old email machine, turnbucklethrowbacks1@gmail.com. Dave and I are very, very interactive with our fans. Speaking of
fans. We love our fans. They're great.
Congratulations to Tim Grimes. His gift went out. His prize went out the other day. I know you had a prize winner. Congratulations,
yes,
too.
I wasn't thinking about what's his name. I forgot.
I don't know who won your
Tom, prize. Tom, I'm going to find out because I don't want to disappoint him.
Did
and
you send his package out yet or no?
Yeah, I sent it out. Todd Brantley.
Oh, Todd Brantley,
that's
right.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah, so Todd, congratulations. Tim, congratulations. Thank you for the support. And, of course, you can check us out on, of course, like I said, Shining Wizards Network. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on Buzzsprout. We're on RantomRadio.com, which will be the live show on the 25th of January, the 30th anniversary of Hulkamania, brother.
And the Mega Powers.
And the Mega Powers. That's right. I think that's going to be it. Oh, wait. We have T-shirts. ProWrestlingTees.com/Turnbuckle Throwbacks. The original artwork by Dean Stahl is up there. Go check it out. And a special shout-out to our buddy Justin from Indiana. He's had some medical issues. He was in the hospital last night. So, Justin, we're thinking about you. We want you to get well, rest up.
Get well soon.
And we promised him some new episodes, new content. So here you go, brother. This one's for you, and I think that's it. Dave, you want to add anything else?
That's it for now. You know, we got an action-packed mystery episode this Wednesday. Check it out.
Yeah, man.
The Shining Wizards Eddie.
Right. The courtship of
This was his pick.
Yeah, this is his pick. It's going to be fun.
I'm kind of scared to watch this, but
not a serious episode, by the way.
I'm taking a hit for the boys on Wednesday night.
Yeah, you are taking a hit for the boys. Actually, it's all right though. It's all right.
It's all good.
Once in a while, we all got
to
take one for the team.
To him, so it's my fault. So
yeah, you know it. When Eddie approached me, he's like, "Oh, look what me and Dave found." I'm like, "This is fantastic." And I guess it coincides with current events with this particular wrestler. and we'll keep it as that. Dave and I will post probably tomorrow. I'll post this probably supposed to show up tonight or tomorrow, this episode, as well as the articles from Slam, Pro Wrestling Torch. And go get the books, man. The books are good.
Yeah.
Go get the books. It's good shit, man. And we'll do some more of these conspiracy theories, and Dave will bring out his briefcase like Matlock. And we'll do that. So, of course,
I am now officially the Matlock of the Shining Wizards Network.
All right. And if I guess if the rant guys want some legal participation, they can hire Mega Powers as a legal.
I'll show up with the briefcase.
Right. Speaking of the rant guys, Tony C is going to be joining us too on the Hulkamania show. He's a huge Hulk Hogan mark, so Tony C needs to get in there.
Tony Z?
Tony C. Yeah, Tony C.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, on behalf of the Mega Powers, I am the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea. Another episode of the Current to the Way Back, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast in the books. We're back this week for episode 50. Take care of yourselves and each other. Avoid the clap. And Dave, anything else before we go?
Take care, spike your hair.
Peace.
That's new, right?
Yeah, that's new. Take care and spike your hair. Later.